are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Monday edition of the show. We're going to hear from Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury, who talked somewhat candidly about their process and the first pick in the draft, and if that's going to be Kyler Murray or if they're going to stick with Josh Rosen. A lot of people try to take some meaning away from this interview at NFL.com with Cliff Kingsbury. So we'll listen to some of his answers and we'll see if we can come up with some of those clues ourselves and see what we think about what he's saying here. And we got to profile a couple more prospects. So we're going to get to a couple of my favorite prospects right now in the draft in the day two range. I don't know if either one of these guys actually even gets to day two. Who knows? I think their stock is rising after the combine, and two players already that put a lot of good stuff on film. Wide receiver Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State. If you listen to this show, you know he is one of my favorites in this class. And then Juan Thornhill, a rangy free safety out of Virginia. We're trying to get beyond the first round pick here for the 49ers and start looking deeper into day two and day three. And we'll get more into that stuff on tomorrow's mailbag show as well. If you want to get involved in that mailbag, hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. A reminder that you can get Locked On 49ers on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On 49ers. So let's hear from Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury to get an idea about what's going on in front of the 49ers in this draft. See if we can draw some conclusions. He's being interviewed by Steve Wyche of NFL Network.
Have you guys decided what you're going to do on the top pick?
We haven't. We're a long ways from that. You know, coaches are on the road, scouts are on the road, private workouts, pro days, and we won't even discuss it until next week and try to fill our board and go from there.
That answer right there is kind of what I had been talking about for a long time in this podcast, because one of the things is, how do you even know who you're going to take yet? Well, you haven't stacked your draft board. And so maybe they know and they're like, well, we already know number one is going to be Kyler Murray, but we got to stack the rest of it. And we got to have talked about this and have all these meetings, because you have to have the medical. You want to see the workouts. You want to check off all those boxes in the offseason. You want to meet with guys. Teams don't have their board completely set yet. So how would you even know who you're going to draft? It makes it a lot easier when you're picking number one. But maybe after this process, they're like, oh, man, we can't pass on Nick Bosa. He just blew us out of the water. Like, we got to take him number one overall. We're not going to screw with the quarterback. We already have one. Or Quinnen Williams. Maybe after they see him work out, and they're like, well, he had the best tape in the class. He had the best workout we've seen from a defensive tackle in a decade. How could this not be our pick? We have a huge need for this player. This has to be our guy at the top, right? So they have to have those conversations. All this stuff, talk about people in any team, when you talk about, oh, this team knows exactly who they're going to take, they haven't even stacked their draft boards completely yet, so they can't really know. So some of that is kind of silly. You could probably have a pretty good idea sometimes, and I'm sure some scouts have who they like, and that might not be the same guy that their GM even likes. So for that reason, how could you even know that you're going to take Kyler Murray yet? Because you haven't placed his name at the top of your draft board yet. So that's one thing, and that's if you don't even have your quarterback yet. You've got to decide who you like the most and who you're going to draft if you are going to draft a quarterback. Now that you have one, you drafted one in the top 10, traded into the top 10 to get a guy just 1 year ago. It's unheard of to draft another top 10 quarterback the next year. You're sitting at number one overall. What about that current quarterback that you just took?
Yeah, I've talked to Josh, and he understands it's business and what all goes with the first pick and what's going on.
Okay, let's stop right there, because that clip was talking about it's a business. That was the one that was making its rounds on Twitter on Sunday, and most people thought when they heard that, they're like, okay, he's gone. It's a business. As soon as you start talking about things being a business, that's where hard decisions get made. Josh Rosen knows it's a business. We're going to take Kyler Murray, and that's done. So with that clip alone, out of context, which is the first thing I heard, which made me want to come find this interview, you thought, oh, okay, maybe, yeah. But then when you put it all together, I'm still not sold on that idea. And of course, he was asked point blank, will Josh Rosen be on the team next year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when you have the first pick, anything can happen, as you know. But, you know, he's a talented player, and we're very high on him, and that hasn't changed.
And from the outside looking in, it doesn't sound like a glowing report, because the answer should be like, oh, we've got our quarterback. Of course, we're not taking a quarterback. But if the idea is to trade the pick, then they don't want teams to think that they've got their quarterback and there's no way they would take a quarterback, because then teams know they can call up the 49ers at pick two and talk to them about trading for a quarterback, spend a little bit less, and maybe talk to the Jets at number three. Cardinals want teams to come to them for either Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray. It's yet to be determined, but it's clear that the Arizona Cardinals want teams to be calling them. But the fact that Josh Rosen's still on the roster after we've seen teams go through free agency periods that needed quarterbacks and they haven't traded for Josh Rosen, and other trades have happened involving quarterbacks, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're shopping him too hard either. Okay, so Cliff Kingsbury, if you see Josh Rosen being on your team next year, then obviously you're not going to draft another quarterback, right?
Is there the possibility that you could go quarterback with that first pick?
I think everything's on the table. I think, like I said, when you have that first pick, you've got to turn over every stone and look at every scenario that's out there, and so we're definitely doing that.
So I don't know. I don't really feel any different about this whole Cardinals thing at number one with Kyler Murray than I did yesterday. If you take Coach Cliff at face value and believe everything he said, basically he's like, I don't know because we don't know. So they're still evaluating. If it turns out that they think Kyler Murray is so good that they can't pass on him, then maybe they will make that selection, or maybe they will start to shop Josh Rosen. But at this point in time, it sounds like maybe that's a possibility, but still mostly unlikely. But they would still like to keep everybody thinking that anything is possible there, because they want teams coming to them to talk about trade. That's still the way I feel about it. I think that's still what's happening. And it doesn't mean either way. It could still be like, and you owe it to yourself. And I give them credit for at least thinking about it, because most teams, you drafted a quarterback, you're done. And you're going to hold on to that guy for 3-4 years, let him flame out, everyone gets fired, start all over again. The fact that they're at least thinking about it, I think, is smart, and teams never do that. But if you think you're going to end up with a better quarterback and you can trade Josh Rosen for, say, the New York Giants' 17th pick in the first round, and you're going to end up with a better quarterback, you owe it to your franchise to do that. So on that end of it, it makes total sense. But teams are so risk averse. Like, I don't know if I could see them doing that, especially if they have the opportunity to trade out of there and get a bunch of picks, keep Josh Rosen. That still might be a better alternative. Who knows? But we'll see where this goes. I don't have any better idea today than I did yesterday. But everybody else in the media seems to be like completely sold that Kyler Murray is going number one. And I'll end this segment with this. This is from Matt Maiocco. He said, while I was at Kentucky's Pro Day Friday, and that Kentucky Pro Day, obviously the biggest name there is Josh Allen, who a lot of people think the 49ers should maybe even take at number two overall, or definitely would be in consideration if the 49ers traded down. He said, while at Kentucky's Pro Day on Friday, a representative of one of the 32 NFL teams in attendance said to me, quote, what are you doing here? The 49ers are going to take Bosa, end quote. So everybody around the league is convinced it's going to go Kyler Murray 1, Nick Bosa 2. We'll see what happens, but we're going to move beyond that with a couple of prospects that might be available when the 49ers are picking in round 2. When talking about wide receiver Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State, I mentioned how you dare to dream with this prospect, because he's not perfect, but he can do things on a football field that nobody else in this class can do, including DK Metcalf. I've seen him do some crazy, freaky stuff. And then he went to the combine and he showed all of those physical tools that you see on tape, and he was super productive. So he's not just a guy who's this big, tall goon that you hope could develop some things, but he's unusable right now. He's really good right now in a lot of ways. But there's some consistencies and some finer points he does need to work on as a prospect. Before we get to the on-field stuff, a little background on him. An interesting upbringing, had a rough go for a while. He grew up in a rough neighborhood in Baltimore and then lost his mother to cancer early on. So he moved to Texas. He lived with his cousins, and his cousins turned out to be big-time basketball recruits, Aaron and Andrew Harrison. They went to the University of Kentucky, which is obviously about as big as it gets for a basketball recruit. They were McDonald's All-American basketball players, and I believe one of them's in the NBA with the Grizzlies right now, and the other brother, not sure if it's Aaron or Andrew, is in the G League somewhere. And Hakeem was motivated by that. He wanted to achieve like his cousins did. But I think with the moving around and stuff, Hakeem Butler got lost in the mix, and he was not a big-time recruit, ended up going to Iowa State. And by the way, how is he not a huge basketball recruit with these measurables, his length and leaping ability? But anyway, 6'5", 227, and the thing that I love about Hakeem Butler, the thing that jumped out to me the first time I saw him, because I was watching wide receivers from this class, and I was watching, you know, A.J. Brown and a lot of the players that were the original guys who were supposed to be the stud wide receivers in this class, and I was watching a lot of guys, and you're like, okay, like this guy a little bit, like this guy a little bit, but nothing was jumping out to me until I finally got to Hakeem Butler, and I thought, okay, yes, this is fun. This is what I was hoping to see, because at his size, which at the combine was 6'5 and 3/8, 227 pounds. He's a really loose mover. You can see him run some routes where he's able to drop his weight and he can lose guys in short areas. He can lose guys on comebacks. There's one famous clip that's making its way around Twitter where he runs this whip route and he's got a DB beat with quickness. At 6'5 and 3/8, 227 pounds, that doesn't happen very often, but where he really excels and where he was putting up ridiculous numbers at Iowa State is down the field as a deep threat. And he will go up over the top. He will, quote-unquote, moss guys, right? He'll go up, pull the ball off the top of your head. He's an ultimate red zone weapon because he has not only that size, but you can tell he has a basketball background because he moves like that. He had a, let's see, what was his vertical jump? 36-inch vertical to go with that crazy length and crazy arm length of 35 and a quarter inches. So this guy, literally, the sky's the limit. He can go get balls that no defender in the NFL can get to. So that's an exciting part of Hakeem Butler's game. But he made so many plays down the field. That's what you love about him. So he's got this 4.48 speed is what he was timed at. Let's just go through his combine measurables. So 6'5 and 3/8, 227 pounds, 35 and a quarter inch arms, which are huge. 10 and 3 quarters inch hands, which is some of the biggest hands I've heard of. So monstrous hands, 98th percentile hand size, 99th percentile arm length, 98th percentile wingspan, 95th percentile weight, 98th percentile height. That's of all wide receivers in the NFL and the guys that have come through the combine in the last however decade, two decades, whatever. He's the biggest, longest dude, but then he can also run 4.48 40-yard dash, which is above average. It's very good for a wide receiver. A good broad jump, a good vertical jump. Bench press, 78 percentile bench press. He put up 225 pounds 18 times. With those long arms, that's difficult. So he puts in work, right? Now, he still has some work to go. And when you look at his comparables at mockdraftable.com, they do a good job of showing guys who worked out similarly, and there's not a lot of really good big wide receivers that are this oversized. So that's maybe something where you're like, okay, wait a second. But one of them I really like is Demaryius Thomas, and he comes in pretty similarly in a lot of categories, bigger than Demaryius Thomas. But Demaryius, by the way, ran a 4.38 at 6'3 and a quarter, 224. He was really raw coming out of Georgia Tech because they run that crazy triple option. But anyways, this isn't about Demaryius Thomas. This is about Hakeem Butler. Plaxico Burress is a comp that I really like that I've seen from him. Some people have said A.J. Green, which is always iffy to compare someone to someone that good because I don't think he's going to be a top 10 pick like A.J. Green was. But there's a chance that Hakeem Butler sneaks into the first round. But when you look around the NFL and you look around different draft Nick sites and you look around different draft media sites and some of the big draft media guys that are pretty plugged in, they don't have Hakeem Butler as high as I do, as high as some other people do. They've got him in like second, third round range, which is surprising. I think he could get into that first round range, but in the second round is really where I like him because he does have some rawness to his game. I talked about his ability to move in short areas and run routes and drop his weight and get in and out of breaks. He displays it, but not always. Sometimes it looks like it's a little bit more rounded off. And sometimes you're not sure, is he a little sluggish? Does he have that top speed? Because bigger wide receivers, they have that build-up stride, and that they eat up so much ground, you can't tell how fast they're going sometimes. And sometimes it looks like he can scoot. And then sometimes it's like, man, is he really going to be able to separate? Or is this just going to be a jump ball guy? And I think the number one, if you're talking about negatives for Hakeem Butler, is just pure hands. And it's crazy because I've talked about how he can do things. He'll make a one-handed catch. He'll make this awesome catch, concentration catch on the sideline, get his feet in bounds. Awesome body control for a guy this big. Then he'll just drop an easy pass that just bounces right off his hands. And I think it's a technique thing. I think he just doesn't do, you know, the classic thing that you learn in high school. That I learned in high school. You put your fingers and thumbs together and make the shape of a diamond and you catch the ball. You'll see a slow-mo of him trying to catch and he'll have his hands way far apart and he's kind of slapping at it. I think it's maybe a technique thing. But as far as, you know, his get off the line of scrimmage, as far as running routes, as far as pure hands and getting rid of those drops, he has some work to do. He has some work to do on the finer details of the game, and I think it's harder for a big wide receiver technically to get better. You know, as a technician, it's just a little bit more difficult, but he shows all the ability in the world to be able to do that. And what I really love and gets me excited about him is his ability to make plays down the field, his ability to go up and get the ball, huge red zone target, and after the catch is super fun because he will just run over guys. He will stiff arm you. He'll run through you. He's a load to get down, and he tries his butt off to get every single yard he can. So I love the attitude from Hakeem Butler. I love the way he plays. I love dreaming about what he could become if he does reach his peak, but there is a little bit of a bust factor with him, and I do understand that, and I think that's why teams might be slightly hesitant to take him in the first round, but I'm all about Hakeem Butler in the second all day. And some of these people that have him outside of the top 50 and have him as a third round prospect, I just don't understand and I don't see it. And he might go there, but there's just too much potential, too much possibility with Hakeem Butler. And I think he fits just about every offense. And man, I would love to see what he could do in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Now, do I think he fits Kyle Shanahan's offense? I think he does. Maybe a little bit more as an X wide receiver than the Z that they're looking for. But he doesn't really have the profile that Kyle Shanahan has proven that he likes so far. So we'll see if he goes outside of that. But he did when he brought in Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews is definitely not a Kyle Shanahan type of wide receiver. So when they brought him in, I was thinking, okay, maybe they're looking for something that's a little bit different than what they already have, which makes me think, oh, maybe they would draft somebody like Hakeem Butler. One of the other things I like about Hakeem Butler, which is something that is important for the Z wide receiver position for the 49ers, it's a position where you're going to be lined up off the line of scrimmage a lot. They can move you around. You can move into the slot. You can line up tight to the line of scrimmage. You can line up outside wide. They can move you around, put you in motion. It's really a position that where they want to get you a lot of targets, get the ball in your hands. He's not the catch and run. He makes a lot of big plays after the catch, but he's not like the classic, you know, catch a slant, run 60 yards with it guy. The way he gains yards after the catch is a little bit different. It's a little bit more of like a big man's way of gaining yards after the catch. But Hakeem Butler has a chance to be a stud wide receiver, and I would love the 49ers to take him number 36 overall because above all else, I think he would be fun. I think he'd be fun to watch. I think he adds an element that the 49ers do not have on offense. He could be a big play machine, getting some yards after the catch, catching the ball downfield. You see him repeatedly get underthrown by his quarterback at Iowa State, and he would still be able to come back to the ball and go over the top of guys and literally pull the ball off of DB's heads. I mean, just dunking on these guys basically is what he was doing at wide receiver. And I saw him put numerous DBs on the ground as a run blocker as well. So it would be awesome to see him with a quarterback that can give him the ball in stride down the field. He would make even more plays down the field. And then obviously a true, like undefendable, I think, red zone weapon when it's all said and done. That's the type of thing he could become in the NFL, which gets me excited. Hakeem Butler, let me give you one more quick little nugget here before we go. This was from Graham Barfield on Twitter. 55% of his receptions gained 20 plus yards. It's the highest rate in the draft class for wide receivers. He leads the class in yards per reception, fifth in yards gained per route run, and he tested as a 98th percentile athlete in height-adjusted 40-yard dash. So that's what you're dealing with. Hakeem Butler is a true freak. I don't think every team is going to see him and feel that way about him or just know exactly what to do with him. I think he will be all over the place on teams' boards. But I also think all it takes is just one team. And there might be that one team who sees him that has him as the number one wide receiver or even at least the number two wide receiver on their board. And at that point, I think he could go off the board at the end of round one. But I think there's a pretty good shot he's there at 36 for the 49ers. And I also have a feeling that the 49ers probably won't take Hakeem Butler because he just won't fit the bill for Kyle Shanahan. But I'd be all about it. I think Hakeem Butler would be a ton of fun. And as I say, you dare to dream with Hakeem. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On 49ers on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On 49ers. Juan Thornhill, free safety out of Virginia, is my next prospect to profile, and he has definitely been the most asked for prospect recently for me to profile here on the show. So we'll talk a little bit about Juan Thornhill and why he might be a fit for the 49ers and why I'm pretty darn sure Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh, John Lynch, Adam Peters, the whole crew are very high on this young man. So before we get to his background, I want to preface this by talking about what his measurables are. So even, you know, the combine stuff is important enough to, you know, see how these guys move, see if everything matches. And you see his athleticism on tape for sure. And he was at the Senior Bowl and all that stuff. We'll get into that. But when he went to the combine, that was like, oh my gosh. And he was like, you had to take notice because he put on a show at the combine. 6'1¼" tall, 205 pounds, not the longest arms, 31⅛", but 4.42 40-yard dash. 44-inch vertical jump, 141 inches in the broad jump, which is, what, 11 feet 9 inches, and then 21 bench press reps, too. So he's put his time in the weight room, but just freakishly athletic. And to put those numbers into perspective, 44-inch vertical and 11.9 broad jump are two of the biggest jumps ever. That puts him in Byron Jones territory. Byron Jones, I think, is the record holder in both vertical and broad jump, and he was just behind those. I think he was 45-inch vertical for Byron Jones, and that vaulted Byron Jones into the first round. And very similar player in at UConn, coming out of Connecticut, Byron Jones, part-time corner, played some safety, ended up starting out as a safety in the NFL for the Cowboys, and then moved back over to cornerback. And Juan Thornhill did the same thing. When you're that athletic, he was playing corner for the first part of his career at Virginia. Ended up playing free safety. And that's where I like him better, is at safety, because of that range and some ball skills. And he has the skills to take the ball away. So more on his on-field production and what kind of a player he is. But I wanted to talk about those measurables and that 44-inch vertical, because looking at his background information, apparently he was on SportsCenter as a high schooler because of highlight dunks on the basketball court. And so I went back and found some of these. You can go find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. It's on my timeline. He can leap out of the building. He's like, oh my God, you can actually see his athleticism even more on the basketball court than you can on the football field, just because you don't get to see guys leap like that, throwing down monster, like monster legit jams. It's crazy. So he's athletic as heck. It's not just a workout warrior. He's got insane athletic ability, and he's had that for a long time. But he's put some time in the weight room. He's a lot bigger than he was in high school. And now he's an NFL prototype-sized safety, 6 feet, 205 pounds, to go with that 4.42 speed and that 44-inch vertical jump. And the dude can play. The dude can play. And the first time I watched him, I wasn't sure. And I didn't realize the speed that he had the first time I watched him. And once I had the context of how fast he was and I went back and watched, I didn't realize how easy it was for him to keep up with receivers. So basically, there's a play where he's playing single high free safety, which is cool because not that many safety prospects in college football play that role, because a lot of times teams want their best player closer to the line of scrimmage, make more impact. So you see guys playing like an overhang safety, and Juan Thornhill did that too. You saw him line up everywhere. He played some corners his career. You see him line up where a linebacker would normally line up. You see it with linebackers, safeties, almost all the big-time safety prospects played really close to the line of scrimmage. You know, Jamal Adams and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James, all those guys, you want your best player to affect the game more, so you want them closer to the line of scrimmage. Juan Thornhill did that sometimes too, lining up kind of like a linebacker. Even Fred Warner in college at BYU lined up in this weird overhang sort of strong safety slash outside linebacker position. And Juan Thornhill did some of that. You see him line up like a linebacker, and he's not a thumper. He's not authoritative when he comes in to hit guys or anything, and he can get blocked sometimes. And even maybe you don't like – that's probably the part of the game you like about Juan Thornhill the least is his physicality and his – like he'll come up and tackle you, but he, you know, he can get blocked by a wide receiver, and so that's not his game. He's not a strong safety. He is a true free safety. He's got range. He's got ball skills. So that's why he fits so well with what the 49ers do, because he could play that single high, deep center field, middle of the field safety. And so that's why he's an exciting prospect for the 49ers. And after working out like he did at the combine, I don't know that he's going to be available like I thought he might have at the top of round three, even though he's still being ranked more in that, you know, 50 to 60 range on a lot of boards. I think there's a chance he might go a lot higher than that. And since he can cover and he has that sort of athleticism, some teams might want him to play corner in the NFL. And like Byron Jones, there might be a chance that it shocks people and someone snags him at the end of round one. And he doesn't even get to the 49ers at pick 36. So kind of like Hakeem Butler, it could be all over the place with Juan Thornhill. We'll see which team falls in love with him where. But for the 40, and who knows if the 49ers are even going to pick a safety. It sounds like They're done in the defensive backfield, and they just brought everybody back and added Verrett, and they're good to go. Re-signed Jimmy Ward, re-signed Anton Exum. They got a lot of bodies there. There's not a lot of room for a lot of bodies. But I think, man, you got to, if the right player's there, you got to draft a safety and make sure you're good at that position. But Juan Thornhill, one of the things I loved about him, I just mentioned it, the easy speed. And you don't see him flash like some other prospects. One of the favorite guys I've seen on tape this year is Darnell Savage. I'm going to do a profile on him as well. Very different player, though, in play style than Juan Thornhill. Savage, you'll see him flash. He'll come downhill like a maniac, and you just see him moving at a different pace. Juan Thornhill, he's fast, and you see it, but he doesn't – he plays under control, I think, is the way to put it. And you see him run with a wide receiver down the field – it looks so easy and effortless because he's such a good athlete. He just finds his guy. He's not panicking, and he runs with him. He carries a wide receiver down the post from his deep middle. And he's like, no, it's good. I'm here. I'm just going to hang on the hip of this guy. And the other thing where his leaping ability does show up is his ability to play the ball. He can go up and knock the ball away. You see him making diving plays where he's diving to knock the ball away, and he can catch. He's got really good ball skills. And that's one thing you notice from guys who are good basketball players. They always have good hands and good ball skills because they're good at handling the rock. And as witnessed by his 13 career interceptions in college. And you talk about what the 49ers lacked last year, everywhere on the team was takeaways. Juan Thornhill can take the ball away. So that's another level of why he fits so well with the 49ers. Four interceptions last year, 13 career interceptions. So his ability to take the ball away, I think, is massive and why another reason why he fits. So when you look at players and you look at who might fit for the 49ers and who is going to be drafted where, I think on day two, with his connection to the 49ers, him having a really good Senior Bowl week, him playing for Kyle Shanahan's team, you know they're going to lean on that. And they learned a lot about these kids that they coached at the Senior Bowl. He was that starting safety, played the single high for Robert Saleh's defense on that Senior Bowl team, as well as all the good tape he has, as well as the crazy workouts. And the 49ers have been almost to a T. Every single player they've brought in, whether it's free agents, draft picks, has been a dynamic athlete and put up crazy workout numbers, as well as, you know, having some tape to go with it. You think about Tarvarius Moore last year, just out of this world height, weight, speed. And a lot of the guys they've drafted in every round have been that way. And even someone like Trent Taylor, you think, oh, gosh, he's 4'6", and he's only 5'7", 185 pounds. But he had, like, the most insane three-cone, right? He has that one thing that you're like, okay, he's better at this than everybody else. He's so much more athletic in this one way. So the 49ers have been all about that type of athlete, and I think Juan Thornhill fits in so many ways, including his athletic profile, how he plays, single high free safety, coached him at the Senior Bowl. He can take the ball away. He can cover, and he's got range to play that deep safety. So Juan Thornhill, I'm going to cut this one a little bit short because I'm running out of time here, but Juan Thornhill, bottom line is he's a great fit. He can cover. He can tackle people, but it's that range. It's that range factor single high free safety that makes him, I think, almost perfect fit for what the 49ers do. Now, if he could be there at the top of the third round, all the better. But I got a feeling they're going to have to make that pick at number 36 if they want Juan Thornhill, the free safety out of Virginia. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll keep this NFL draft coverage going all offseason long. I'm going to do a mailbag episode Tuesday, so get those questions in at BD Peacock on Twitter, and then another Winky Wednesday. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.